You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line with Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Number to call, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Happy Monday to everybody out there. Happy President's Day. Hope everybody is doing well on this holiday. Jacob, how are you today, my man?
Doing good, man. It's Monday, so it's as good as it can be, but another start to another great week, and I'm excited. We got a lot to talk about today.
A lot to talk about, and stumbling onto social media. Now, I went skiing this past weekend, and I did not get to watch the game live. I've definitely kept up with what's gone on. I'm educated on the subject. I'm ready to talk about it, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm not educated and that I don't know what happened, and so I will be able to talk about Auburn basketball losing its 14th straight game in Gainesville. I definitely kept up with and listened to a lot of the baseball games this past weekend. Auburn claiming two big wins, including a top 12 win over Texas Tech in the State Farm College Baseball Showdown. We're going to talk about all that today. But I stumbled out onto social media over the weekend, and I see so many people up in arms. I don't want to use the word division because I think everybody's clearly behind this Auburn basketball team. But you stumble out onto social media and you see some, panic's not the right word, but you see some concern for the Auburn basketball team after losing its second game in 2 weeks.
Well, first of all, how was skiing, my friend?
I fell a lot.
I told you you would, didn't I?
I'm not bruised. I fell a lot.
Did you get better as the days went on?
No.
Oh, all right, well.
Where I went, it was incredibly icy, like concrete, slick concrete. It was not safe. I saw five people brought down the mountain on a gurney.
Gosh,
five.
That's horrible.
I was like, there's no way I am going up a slope. The bunny slope was kicking my tail, man.
Hey, it happens. It happens.
But I do not believe one bit. After I have experienced skiing, I've never snowboarded before, but I just skied. I do not believe for 1 second the people out there that say skiing is easier than snowboarding. I don't believe it.
Well, I've never skied. I've only snowboarded. But I feel like it would be easier. You have access. You can move your feet. You have your hands to help you.
That's just what the problem is. You have more...
more ways to go.
Exactly. You have more things to worry about. Instead of just one thing, you have four things. The two poles and your 2 feet.
Fair enough.
It is so much more to focus on and worry about rather than just skateboarding essentially down a mountain.
Yeah, but with your snowboarding, your feet are locked in and you can't go anywhere.
Newsflash, your feet are locked in and you can't go anywhere with skis.
You know what I meant, but you can at least kind of direct yourself a little bit.
No,
snowboarding,
you can't.
If you start going the wrong way, it's over, man.
Maybe
it's
it was
over.
Just the ice. Maybe it was just how, and granted, other people in my group that I went with my family, my in-laws, and I had a blast. I enjoyed the trip. I'm very thankful. It was a wonderful trip. They were all so much better at it than me. I just need to snowboard next time.
Yes, you need to snowboard, my friend. I did that in Colorado a couple years ago.
I got to shred some pow, man. I got to shred some pow.
Just have the Sean White mentality, and you can't be defeated, right?
Got to shred some pow, man. But I did not. The pow shredded me.
It'd be like that sometimes, but we'll talk about Auburn basketball now, but I did want to ask you how your trip went because I did not have that chance to do so. But, yes, Auburn basketball, as you mentioned, 14th straight loss at Florida as a program. And, like you said, social media was up in arms, as Auburn Twitter always is, especially after a loss, a lot of times after the wins, too. You can't please some people, and that's not just Auburn fans, that's just sports fans in general. You can't please everybody, and not everybody's going to be happy with whatever happens. But, of course, number two Auburn, now number three Auburn, they lost 63-62 on the road at Florida on Saturday, and I would say about 75% of social media was bashing Auburn, bashing the team, bashing decision making, whether it was coaches, players, etc.
Is it truly bashing, or is it?
It's stating the obvious. I mean, if
is it just
being
objective? Because if you look at the game, Auburn did not play well on Saturday.
No, they didn't. And then I was going to say the other 25% was, it's okay, we're fine. Auburn is still only a 3-loss team. They're still the number one team in the SEC.
But I also think those people are up in arms, and they're kind of at this spot, maybe not all of them, but I think a lot of those folks are at a place where it's almost like the basketball team is above reproach. It's almost like because of the history of Auburn basketball, that because they've reached this place now where they're 24-3, you can't say anything negative about the basketball team. Yeah. I totally understand the sentiment. I totally understand the sentiment that this team is the best Auburn basketball team that we've ever seen. We should be thankful for it. We should be excited. We should be enjoying every step of the road. And by no means does losing in Gainesville, Florida, negate anything that's happened up to this point, nor does it disqualify Auburn from national championship contention down the line. By no means. In fact, my view of this basketball team has not changed one bit over the last 2 months, wins and losses, because what have we said on this program now since the beginning of January? You can't keep playing like this, or else you're eventually going to lose. And now the eventually is starting to happen, and people don't know how to deal with it.
And we've been saying that, like you said, for 2 months. I have especially been saying Auburn is still not a great basketball team.
No, they're a great basketball team. They're just not.
They're not playing like it.
They're not playing like a team that has separated themselves as one of the national championship favorites, in my opinion. Now, people may disagree with that. They may be like, look, these guys are number three in the nation. They're 24-3. There are some concerning attributes with this Auburn basketball team, and I've said it for the last couple of weeks, that don't quite match up with the last 5, 6, 7 national champions, the qualities that those teams have, and it's revolving around what Auburn does offensively. But we've been talking about that all year long, and just as much as I have said that about this team having some concerning qualities, I have also said this team is one of the most talented teams in the nation, and they very well still can win the national championship. I think all of these things can be true. So the discourse around the Auburn basketball team right now, I think they're a great team. I think they're a national championship contender. But I also think that no team in college basketball, even a unanimous number one team in college basketball, is above reproach, because anybody can get beat at any point. And at one certain part of the season, if you get beat, it's over.
And if you ask me, I'm going to kind of go against you, and I'm going to say the way that Auburn is playing right now, let me say this first. There is no doubt in my mind that Auburn basketball is one of, if not the most talented team in the country, talented-wise. I mean, look at who starts for this basketball team. You've got 2 first-round picks, another second-round pick, and you've got guys that are going to eventually be in the league just in the starting five, plus the 6th and 7th, 8th man. There's no doubt that Auburn is one of the most talented teams in the country, but they're not playing like one of the best teams in the country. I'm shocked that they're the number 3 team in the AP poll today. I was kind of shocked by that. I figured the AP voters would throw some other teams above them, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you ask me, and I've been saying it for 2 weeks now, Auburn is not playing good basketball. Ever since the Georgia game, they have not been playing good. They're 3-2 in a 5-game stretch, and they haven't looked good besides Vanderbilt. And even then, I said they still didn't look great. And I'm not. That's not me setting overly high standards. It's just I think Auburn, we've seen what they can do, and there's so many problems that are happening right now that you can, from the outside, we can say these things have got to change before March, because this team, the way they're playing right now, they won't make the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8. I could see them losing early if they play like they're playing right now. Now, we've seen Bruce Pearl teams play like this in February for the past 5 years, and they figure it out, and they end up being pretty darn good by the time March comes around. And I have no concern about that right now, but the way Auburn's playing right now, it's scary, I won't lie.
You say that, though, but they didn't play like that, I don't think, and you and I disagree, I guess, a little bit about what the Vanderbilt game actually looked like, but I still go back to Auburn outscored Vanderbilt 91-66 outside of the first 5 minutes of that basketball game, which I think there were some things outside of Auburn's control that contributed to them going down 14-3, like a technical on Bruce Pearl. But I look at this Auburn team, and you say it like it's an every-game occurrence, and I don't think it's an every-game occurrence. I do think they've had some struggles on the road in recent weeks, but you also compare Auburn's road record to everyone else in the Southeastern Conference. Auburn's the best road team in the SEC. So the problems that we're putting on Auburn, sure, we're closer to Auburn than we are to every other team in college basketball. We care about Auburn more than every other team in college basketball, but Auburn is not dealing with their own set of problems compared to the rest of college basketball. If anything, Auburn's problems right now in college basketball are a lot better problems to have than other teams in the nation.
Like what?
Like Purdue and some of the big losses that they've had, losing to Michigan 82-58 or whatever it was. At least when Auburn's lost, it's been close. They've lost twice in overtime, once now on the road here in regulation, 63-62, had a chance to win. Auburn's been incredibly close and clutch in close games. I think they've played in probably the second toughest conference in college basketball, and they've been near perfect all along the way. 24-3 is nothing to turn their head at. Auburn still has one of the lowest loss counts in college basketball. You look at some of the losses that Baylor and Kansas have sustained. Auburn is not without that, right? But they have definitely had it happen to them fewer times, and it's been less jarring. Kansas has been blown out. Baylor's been blown out. Baylor's not even fully healthy right now. You look at Duke and the teams that they're losing to. They're losing to unranked teams, right? They've only lost to one team that was in the top 25 this year, and that was Ohio State. And they almost have double-digit losses right now. So those are some teams inside the top 10 that have taken some L's. You look at Kentucky, their strength of record is not as good as Auburn's, and they have more losses, right? Auburn has done more still, and I think that's why Auburn's number three today. I, like you, was surprised. I thought college basketball would have dropped them more, but when you compare what Auburn has done nationally to the other teams inside the top 10, Auburn has done more than a lot of those teams, and those teams have issues too. We can go up and down the top 10. I can tell you about those issues, but I don't think Auburn's issues are as bad as those teams. Gonzaga's the only team right now where I think, and they only won by 12 this past weekend against Santa Clara. Gonzaga's the only team that I think you can look at right now and say they're playing probably the best basketball amongst any team in the nation, and they're playing solid basketball without real, I don't want to say without reproach because they're not playing great teams, but they are playing complete basketball right now, I think you could say. Now, granted, it is against the WCC. Will that continue into the tournament? But to your question, I do not think Auburn's issues are as bad as other teams. Auburn lost to a team that has, and at the time, only had five losses. Now they have six. They lost in Bud Walton Arena. That's who I'm talking about, Arkansas. 20,000 fans there. They lost to a UConn team that's ranked inside the top 20, top 25 at different points this season. And then they just lost to a Florida team that's 17-10, is knocking on the door of the NCAA tournament with this win. And all of those games were away from Auburn Arena. They've been the best road team in the SEC. Teams are going to lose on the road. That's college basketball.
And everything you're saying is true. And I think there's no team in college basketball right now that doesn't have problems and doesn't have issues. But what's one of my biggest factors when it comes to college basketball is the eye test. And right now, when you watch Auburn play versus when you watch other teams play, it looks like Auburn is just struggling, especially on the offensive end.
But so are all the other teams.
But if you ask me, I think there's five teams in the top 10 that are playing better basketball than Auburn right now. And if you watch basketball,
who are those teams? I'm just curious.
I would say Gonzaga, Purdue.
Gonzaga, I agree with. Purdue, man, they lost Kansas just within 2 weeks by 24 to Michigan.
I agree. A bad loss, too. But I would say Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, those teams are all playing better and look better when they do it. And I know that's not, I know that's a weird thing to look at, but that's, I see it that way when I'm watching a game.
Does Duke look better than Auburn?
I mean,
they've lost to Virginia since February 7th by one. Then they beat Clemson 82-64. Clemson is a very bad basketball team. That is a team on the same plane as Vanderbilt. They beat Boston College by 11. Once again, another team that's on the same plane as Vanderbilt. A Wake Forest team that I wonder if they're in the NCAA tournament, if they're in the SEC. Only won that game by 2. And then Florida State's only a couple of games above 500. And they beat them by 18, but that was at home. So I don't know if I'm fully there with you on the fact that Duke's playing better. I think they're playing in a significantly worse conference. They're playing teams like Vanderbilt on a night-in and night-out basis.
True. But I still think Duke's going to be a legitimate threat. And I also think Texas Tech is playing very good basketball right now as well.
But so, are they playing better than Auburn?
Here's the thing, though. I would say yes, just because Auburn has not looked good for the past 2 weeks. I've been saying it.
They've looked good at home. They haven't looked great on the road. They've looked great at home.
Yeah.
Won by 19 over Alabama.
But you've got to be able to play both sides. You can't just say you're a great basketball team at home, because in March you don't play at home and you don't play on the road either. But being better on the road is being better than being at home, if that makes
sense. Do you make anything about the type of basketball that Auburn has been shooting? Did you see the statistics about Auburn shooting a Nike basketball versus a Wilson basketball?
I think I brought that up on a Final Take or a Hot Take Wednesday or something a couple weeks ago here on the show. I talked about that was how college basketball should have a one standard ball, the Wilson ball, because Auburn...
Not the Nike ball?
No, not the Nike ball, because Auburn is terrible with the Nike basketball, but...
But if they used it all the time, they may not be terrible with it. Yeah. Auburn uses a Wilson basketball.
I did read where Auburn practices with a Nike basketball the day before a game where they're going to be using a
Nike ball.
Still
not enough.
It's not enough, but it'll never get there because schools make too much money. Nike pays too much money to these schools to have their logo on a basketball, and they pay millions of dollars to do it, so it'll never change, but I don't put it on that. I'm sure, does it have an effect? Yeah, I'm sure it does, but at the end of the day, man, a basketball is a basketball. Whether you could shoot or not, that's on you, not the basketball.
But I think I've read in the NCAA tournament they play with a Wilson basketball.
They do, because that's controlled by the NCAA. That's not controlled by the venue where it's being played, you know what I mean?
So is it being blown out of proportion? These couple of losses where Auburn's played on the road, where they're playing Nike schools, where they're using a Nike basketball, that all factors into road environments, why it's more difficult to play on the road, because all of these things are things that you're not used to. You're not used to the shooting backdrop. You're not used to the crowd. You're not used to... You're probably not going to get the calls in a road environment, more than likely, because as we talked about officiating on Friday, refs play into the crowd, and then on top of that,
yes, they do.
You go back to what I just said about the basketball. You're not used to all of these things. That's why teams struggle on the road in college basketball. And once again, I still go back to, while Auburn may not be playing as well on the road as they are at home, I think that's natural. When you look at Auburn at home, they're cleaning teams' clocks, and great teams at that, too. Good teams, top 25 teams. They've got a 3-1 record against teams inside the top 25. That's one of the best records inside the SEC. And I still go back to, they are winning more than anyone else in the SEC on the road. Nobody else has as many wins away from their own arena than Auburn does in the SEC. Other teams are struggling on the road too. I just don't buy that. I don't buy that one bit.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, for me, when I know Auburn is still has the second fewest losses in the country, they're still a one game lead in the SEC. They've got all those things. They've got some of the best players in the country, and you were talking about playing on the road, having a different basketball, different backdrop, the fans, the refs,
everything. And I'm not trying to make
like
excuses.
No,
I've been critical of this Auburn team. I do think they should play better on the road. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here with you, because I don't think the sky is falling, and I'm trying to show people that the sky isn't falling.
It's not falling, but all of those things, that doesn't affect the offensive play calling and the decision making and the little things that Auburn is not doing well enough to win in March, in my opinion. Because if Auburn continues to play like this and build these bad habits, like Wendell Green not getting a shot up at the end of the first half or the end of the game, those things cost you games in the NCAA tournament. And you don't have multiple chances. You lose a game, you're done, you go home, and the greatest team in Auburn history doesn't even make the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. So I think it's not so much that the sky is falling and that Auburn is just a horrible basketball team. They're still a top three team in the country, folks. But there are things that I see when I watch this team, but I'm like, why? Like, why has that not been fixed yet?
Didn't we ask ourselves the same questions in 2019?
And we did, and that's why.
And in 2020, before the world shut down.
Exactly, and that's why I mentioned earlier, the month of February under Bruce Pearl at Auburn has always been terrible. Auburn teams go through a horrible slump, And for this team, 3-2 in five games is a slump. They shouldn't go 3-2. In my opinion, this team is good enough to beat everybody on their schedule when they play well. But then it'll be interesting to see these last four or five games and into the SEC tournament to see if the team fixes it, figures it out, and just gets back in gear and just starts blowing everybody out and showing how good they can be. I'm interested to see, and I think it's going to start on Saturday when they have to travel to Knoxville and play Tennessee, a game that now has a huge, huge SEC implications. But for any of our listeners, if you want to call in and chime into your opinion about Auburn basketball, is the sky falling or is this team okay? We want to hear from you. Give us a call here on the line, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you.
Also talking about this Saturday's game against Florida, you're talking about issues that this team may have right now. I think you got to call out the backcourt. I know you've already mentioned Wendell Green, but we talked about Flanagan's performance against Vanderbilt with six turnovers. KD Johnson had five turnovers against Florida. You can't have that.
Zeb Jasper didn't record a stat besides an assist or a rebound or something.
He had one steal, one assist, and one rebound. No shots. And I don't think he shot the basketball against Vanderbilt earlier in the week. It was a similar type.
I don't know how many minutes he played either, but
19.
Oh, well.
And recorded three fouls, and he had a similar amount against Vanderbilt.
He did get in foul trouble early on, and that kind of took him out of his rhythm. But
then Wendell Green had five assists to three turnovers, which isn't terrible, not great either. One rebound, one steal. But let's add up the shooting for Auburn's primary backcourt players. Wendell Green was 2 for 10. Add that to Zep Jaspers. That's going to put you at 2 for 11. KD Johnson was 3 for 8. So that's going to put you at 5 for 19. And then Alan Flanagan was 1 for 1, which is going to put you at 6 of 20 out of the entire backcourt. And if you want to include Devin Cambridge, 7 of 21.
I mean, that's not
great.
That's
33%.
That's not great. And then you could add up the turnovers, too. They were the majority of the turnovers. Walker had
10
two
of the
and
17.
Jabari had two. Yeah, so 10 of the 17 come from your primary ball handlers. I mean, those are things that get you beat in the tournament, in my opinion.
They had 8 assists to 10 turnovers.
That's the opposite of what you want. What do I always say? What is a good point guard when it comes to the stat? What is it?
2-1.
2-1.
Assist to turnover ratio.
If you can have that as a point guard, you are efficient, you are helping your team, and you are doing more good than harm. But this team right now with the backcourt, they're struggling a little bit, and I think teams have figured out how to defend our guys.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue to talk a little Auburn basketball takeaways from Auburn's 14th straight loss in Gainesville, Florida. You're listening to On the Line. Back on the Line, Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Happy Monday afternoon, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well on this rainy Monday. It's a vibe here in the studio. Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins. Jacob, how was your weekend, man? I didn't really ask you a whole lot about that. You asked me about skiing. What did you do?
I watched a lot of sports, man.
That's good.
I watched a lot of sports. A shocker, I know, but yeah.
You didn't do anything with your girlfriend?
Yeah, we hung out. We went out and hung out with some friends Saturday night, you know, after the game when I was depressed and had to get out of the house. So we went and did that, and then yesterday I felt really lazy. I watched a lot of basketball, some NASCAR, the Daytona 500, watched a little bit of golf. It was a good weekend. It was a good refresher weekend. I did some stuff around the house, but, you know, it was a good refreshing weekend. I needed it.
Auburn loses to Florida 63-62 in Gainesville. I have questions about an aspect of this game that I want people's thoughts on. 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502. Timeouts. Now, you got people like Roy Williams in college basketball that are of the school of not calling timeouts, regardless of if the ceiling is falling in on you. If an avalanche of points is burying you, no timeouts.
Nope.
We are waiting till the media break, right? Like, no. Bruce Pearl does not call a whole lot of timeouts. Auburn had an 8-point lead in the second half, blown away, no timeouts.
Shocker.
Going into the final possession with 7.5 seconds left, Auburn had 3 timeouts on the TV score bug. Did they have all 3 of those timeouts?
Yes, they did.
Just to confirm, because on the ESPN.com play-by-play, it says they took a timeout.
No, okay, so So Florida had the inbound under their own basket. That we had Auburn had Walker Kessler on the inbounder and Jabari Smith
forced
on the guy
the
that were throwing it in. They forced the turnover. It got knocked out of bounds. Auburn ball. So Auburn had to bring the ball the whole way up the floor. Yes, they had three timeouts, and they gained a timeout because the refs went to the monitor to put more time on the clock and put half a second. So Auburn basically got a free timeout, which is ridiculous.
And they drew the play up, right? So they did have effectively
a
timeout, and they drew the play up. But it was clear, crossing the timeline, that the play was broke. And you probably could have gotten a timeout off with about 2-3 seconds left. I'm just of the school that I would rather the shot be coming out of the inbound.
I agree.
I would rather you draw it up to come out of the inbounds to get one of your shooters open, Jabari, and I would rather see him shoot the three coming off of a catch-and-shoot situation rather than have to dribble it up the floor and do it in the span of the actual game, especially when you got three timeouts.
And the play call was simple. What's Auburn's go-to play? The pick-and-roll with Wendell Green and Walker Kessler. That was the play, was for Wendell Green to come down. They drew the double team and give it to Walker Kessler. And he was open, by the way. He was open for about a second or half a second, which isn't a lot of time, but Wendell Green's got to get that pass to him, but he didn't. So then he's double-teamed, and he gets stuck with the basketball with 3 seconds to go, and then he just turns around, dribbles it out, doesn't even get a shot up. So, yeah, there's got to be a timeout right there, whether it's from Wendell Green or whether it's from Bruce Pearl. It's got to be from Bruce Pearl, realistically. He's got to call a timeout right there. You have 3 seconds. You draw up a play. I would draw up a sideline out of bounds with Jabari Smith inbounding the ball, give it back to him in the corner or for a wing jumper, 18-foot jumper that he loves, something. Auburn was only down by one. You didn't have to have the three. So I like that idea. Obviously, it's easy for us to say that after the game and we're not in the scenario, but that's got to be on your mind as a head coach. You got 3 timeouts. Give your team a chance because, hey, you ain't taking them with you on the game against Ole Miss on Wednesday, so you may as well use them.
Thoughts on the basketball game? We want to hear from you. Call us. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. We got Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports joining us here in our next segment. We'll be back. You're listening to On the Line on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on the show. We're 33 minutes into our number one. Auburn basketball loses its 14th straight game in Gainesville to the Florida Gators. Of course, not the result that you wanted from the Auburn Tigers. A lot to still unwrap about that game. We've talked about a lot of the negative aspects of it. We'll still talk about some good things that we saw in the game as well as the sky is not falling with this Auburn basketball team. There's still some good things to talk about with this team. They're 24-3. Duh. But on the phone lines now, we got Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports. Jeremy, how's it going today, my man?
Doing well, my man. Wife has me on some home renovation duties on this holiday. So not much of a holiday here at the Law House, but ready to talk some sports.
Well, I'm glad that you're spending your break with us to talk to us here on the show. Let's talk a little football then. A couple of finer points here with Alabama football. You've seen some of those videos about Nick Saban talking this past week, whether it was about Henry Ruggs or some of the players that maybe didn't make the most of their opportunity at Alabama in terms of the national championship game, namely some of those receivers that Nick Saban was talking about. A lot was made out of it on social media. What is your takes on some of what Nick Saban had to say in his various coaching / leadership videos that we saw on social media?
Yeah, let's start with the guys that that didn't step up. I thought, you know, it's not just Alabama fans that think that if Metchie and Jameson Williams aren't hurt, the two best third down receivers in college football, if they're healthy against Georgia, that Alabama still finds a way to win a national title and go back to back. But you know, you had guys like Hall and Holden and Baker. They tweeted the whole year about how frustrated they are and putting out those little messages that you'd have to read between the lines on Twitter and Instagram. And you know that their time came and they weren't ready. And I think that's why you saw a lot of the overhaul in recruiting that Nick Saban went back with the athletes, whether it's Isaiah Bond, Aaron Anderson, Kendrick Law in this freshman class that, you know, I'm not sure Nick Saban knows yet if he can trust Ajayi Hall and JoJo Earl and even Ja'Cory Brooks to an extent. with the play on the field. It's a miracle that Alabama was even in that game against Georgia after Jameson Williams got hurt. You're talking about no Josh Jobe and Jalen Armour Davis. You're still playing a freshman in Kool-Aid McKinstry. You're trying to get Tyree Jackson in there to play. I think he was another one of those guys that Nick Saban was talking about that probably was frustrated a lot during the year. When his time came, he and Kool-Aid McKinstry just couldn't get the job done on the outside for Alabama. So I know he's frustrated in that, and I think you saw it a lot in how Alabama closed on the recruiting trail this year. I know a lot of that happened after early signing day, but Nick Saban already knew with some of the tweets and things that were going on that he couldn't maybe trust the young receivers on the roster. Went out and got a bunch of them, and I think you could see a lot of those younger guys.
Jeremy, did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Okay. You cut out for just a second, but I want to let you finish if you hadn't already on that, on your final statement there.
I was just saying that I think Nick Saban in the recruiting overhaul that he had at receiver this year, he's going to be focused on making sure that those young guys get playing time, because he's not truly sure that he can rely on what he's got coming back from last year's roster.
Got you. And so I wanted to ask you about the coaching staff now that Nick Saban and Alabama has filled in the coaching staff for the next 2022 season. What is your final take on the new coaching staff, that all the holes have been filled and where they're trying to head in this new season?
Well, I think you've immediately improved what you're going to do at tight end. With Salson Seri stepping out, Hustler stepping in, you like what you have at outside linebackers. And you love T-Rob at corners. So, you know, last year's coaching staff after the mass exodus from the national championship season, and when you're hiring coaches in January, and especially in the middle of January, when a lot of guys have already gotten jobs, sometimes it can be tough when you're replacing Sarkisian and all those guys after a national title run. I think Saban got some names that he likes, and also think that he went out and he wanted to keep both his coordinators. I know a lot of Alabama fans may feel a tad frustrated with Bill O'Brien returning. You think you could have gotten more out of this offense, but I think you immediately get an upgrade as an offensive line coach in Wolford. You keep both your coordinators, and I think a lot of Alabama fans, they should be happy about the coaches that they retrieved and brought into the program, and be happy that you have some stability in the scheme and the terminology that you're going to get with the coordinators coming back. I mean, at this point, I think you put your head down, you trust Nick Saban, and you let him do his job. And Alabama still averaged, you know, around 40 points per game. They're really good on offense, but it was just that sometimes in key situations they didn't get it done. A lot of that offensive line, and they didn't close well on defense. So I think with the staff changes, Alabama fans should be excited about what Nick Saban was put together, a really solid coaching staff. I think a really good X's and O's coaching staff blended with a great match in recruiting. So Alabama fans should be excited about it.
Speaking with Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports, we are going to pivot now to the basketball team. Alabama now 17-10 overall, 7-7 in conference play, with a lot of great wins on their schedule. As we know, this past weekend was not one of them. They give up 90 to Kentucky, but albeit it was on the road in Rupp Arena. Takes on Alabama's loss in Lexington.
Listen, it's either no offense or no defense. They're still trying to put together, you know, their best performances, and they haven't really had one of those just great offensive and defensive performances for 40 minutes, maybe since, heck, Gonzaga. I know they played really, I know they've beaten Tennessee and Florida, and they've beaten some really good teams in conference too, but you're looking for Alabama to be able to put it together. And the way, and with the game that Keon Ellis had, when a guy scores around 30, you should win the game. There's no buts about it. You should win that game. And Alabama just, quite frankly, did not give the effort on the defensive end from about the four-minute mark in the first half to the finish of the game. They were still able to score a lot of points. I still think they were efficient on offense. You would like JQ to at least knock down one of the four threes that he tried. In that game, they started off hot from three, didn't finish hot from three, and that's kind of just who they are. So if you're Alabama fans, you're frustrated, but you're also thinking, man, we went into Rupp against a very good team. a team that could easily wind up being a one seed in the NCAA tournament if they continue to play well and close well in the SEC tournament. Like, you played really well. You're not going to go back to another environment like Rupp Arena. The place is really a tough place to play, one of the most historic environments in college basketball. So you take the good, you try to leave the bad behind you. And Nate Oates has already said, like, going into this Vanderbilt game, we're not going to play guys that don't play defense. And Vanderbilt is the team that can score some points. And they're going to need all the defense that they can get against Vanderbilt. Because if you're out there, you want to stop losing conference games. You came into this season, you picked high in the preseason standings. A lot of people predicted you to finish very, very well, have a great SEC, at least conference season, and you just quite frankly haven't had it. So you want to close down this stretch well. But I know Alabama has such a small margin for error, which I think is the main difference from last year's season, is that they could come out and some guys could play bad, somebody else could step up. If they weren't great on defense one night, the offense would pull through. That's just not the case this year. So Alabama has to be playing its best basketball this year to win games, where they probably didn't have to do that last year, especially when they were in the heart of SEC play and in the SEC tournament.
Final four games here for Alabama the regular season at 7-7 now in SEC play. They're at Vanderbilt on Tuesday night. They'll have back-to-back home games against South Carolina and Texas A&M, and then they'll finish things up on March 5th on the road in Baton Rouge against LSU. What's your prediction for Alabama over the final four games?
You really want 3-1. You feel like you have a better roster than three of those teams. And LSU, you know, you already beaten them, but Will Wade is going to try to win that game. He and Nate Oates have built quite a little rivalry with each other over the last couple of years. So you'd like 3-1, I guess 2-2. And here's the crazy part about it. For Alabama, you really can't pinpoint who the second loss would be to. It may be LSU, but on any given night, they could lose to a South Carolina. They can lose to a Vanderbilt. They can lose to a Texas A&M. You at least want to finish 500 in conference play paired with your really good out-of-conference wins and some really good conference wins. And if Alabama's probably kicking itself thinking earlier in the year you lose to Mississippi State, you just lose to some teams that you have no business losing to, for example, Missouri in that game. So, you know, you'd be kicking yourself. You think you'd at least be finishing over 500, but now you're just hoping to finish 500 this year and put some good games together in the SEC tournament.
Talking to Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports. Jeremy, what are your impressions from Alabama baseball from this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, I think they're a gritty team. Walk off from Diodati, like you like what they were able to do. They didn't give up a lot of runs in the series. A lot of names coming back from years past. So you like what they put together. They have a really good foundation. They got some tune-up games right there against Xavier. I think they gave up more hits than they'd really want to give up. But if you look across the country, I mean, Arkansas dropped some games against some cupcakes. Georgia was having to walk it off against, I think, Albany. So those are some games, some other games in the SEC that you look at. You know, some good teams weren't able to get a weekend sweep this weekend, and Alabama was able to do that. And, you know, baseball is not one of those sports where you really want to start off slow. Yeah, you want to get better and better throughout the year, but you want to start off building some confidence. And I think Alabama fans should have some confidence. They put the bat on the ball. They had timely hitting. They pitched well when they needed to pitch well. I thought overall it was a good opening weekend of baseball for Alabama.
Jeremy, we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. I hope you have a good rest of your holiday and good luck renovating, my man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That was Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports here with us for the 2:30 segment here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Before we go to break, I want to keep talking a little bit about some of the things going on that he had to say. Talking about Alabama basketball, we haven't spoken yet about their game this past weekend in Rupp Arena. That was a shorthanded Kentucky team that still put up 90.
They're good, man, and they're hitting their stride at the right time.
Kentucky, that is.
Kind of what I'm wanting Auburn to do. But, yeah, shorthanded Kentucky team. Not only did they win and put up 90, they were able to withstand a incredible first half of shooting from Alabama. And being able to do that, Alabama shot the lights out in the first half. And then, you know, they kind of went cold in the second half, and Kentucky played a lot better basketball in the second half. But this team is getting better and better every game, and they're not even completely healthy. And when they get healthy, they're going to be one of the most dangerous teams in the SEC tournament and in the NCAA tournament. Of course, playing at home at Rupp Arena definitely helped. If that game's in Tuscaloosa and Alabama shoots that way, Alabama probably wins that game, but you got to be able to win on the road. And we've seen it's tough to do to win on the road in this conference. So,
and I think you can say that about Kentucky. We talked about Auburn earlier. I just want to go back and continue to emphasize the point that I said that everybody's got issues. Kentucky had Sevier Wheeler on Tuesday night. They may have not have had Ty at 100%, but Kentucky was almost fully healthy at Kentucky. Or excuse me, Kentucky was almost fully healthy at Tennessee, and they did not play well, and they got beat by double digits, right?
But there's a difference in Tennessee and Florida.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, come on now.
It's SEC basketball. We're about to find out. I think anybody can do it, man.
We're about to find out. Auburn,
Tennessee is a lot better of a basketball team than Florida. I will admit that. But Kentucky's also had a loss to Notre Dame earlier this year.
That's very true. That's very true. I just think when you watch Kentucky right now, I think they're playing better than Auburn.
I don't know if I'm there with you on that.
I think
Kansas
is playing better than Auburn. I think Duke's playing better than Auburn.
I might get there with you on Kansas.
Gonzaga. Obviously, I think there's four or five teams that you could say are playing better basketball than Auburn right now.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened in college basketball this past weekend. Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Wrapping up hour number one of the Monday edition of the show. President's Day. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you here in the studio. Big thank you there to Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports for joining us in our previous segment. If you've missed any of the show so far, go and find it wherever you get your podcast. Going to talk about what happened this past weekend in college basketball. Of course, there was that scuffle yesterday in the Big Ten. Number 15, Wisconsin beats Michigan 77-63. Juwan Howard took some issue with Greg Gard of Wisconsin after the game, and it led to Juwan Howard, what appeared to be in the video, him throwing a punch, and it collided with the side of the face, an ear of a Wisconsin assistant, and chaos ensued after the game's handshake line. Your take, because a lot of people have had thoughts on this, your take on the scuffle surrounding the Michigan-Wisconsin game.
Well, first of all, it was more of a slap than a punch. When you slowed the video,
closed fist.
If you slowed the video down, it ended up, it was like his hand was flat on the dude's face. Because
he realized mid punch, he's like, no, I can't punch somebody.
No, I think he was trying to. There's no doubt. He wanted to connect. It was more of a slap when you slowed it down. But it doesn't matter what it is.
He struck another person.
You struck another coach. You can't do that. You can't punch anybody, man. You can't do that. And you already, you kind of broke it down a little bit. Wisconsin's up by 15. They call a timeout because they're getting stuck in the backcourt to reset the 10-second rule. Because, of course, you have 10 seconds to bring the ball across to half court. Wisconsin called, because Michigan, by the way, full court press down by 15 with like a minute to go. So Wisconsin called a timeout to reset. Michigan and Juwan Howard was not happy with that. And so after the game, the teams are coming through the handshake line. And something was said. And then they go at
Greg Gard also touched him. Let's don't leave that out.
Greg Gard touched Juwan Howard. He had some words. He basically said, "Do not touch me." And then he said, "I'll remember that," talking about the timeout. And then they went after it. And then the team started getting in there. And then Juwan Howard, as he was being held back, took a swing and connected with Greg Gard.
I don't know if it was Greg Gard. I think it was an assistant.
Or wasn't an assistant. Okay. Well, whoever he hit, he took a swing and then chaos broke out between all the teams. There's video of Michigan players throwing and landing punches on Wisconsin coaches and players. Everybody's trying to get back. The cops are in there. It was insane. It was madness. And it's ugly, man. It was ugly. It's a horrible, horrible look for both teams, but especially for Michigan and head basketball coach Juwan Howard, because, I mean, dude, he reared back and tried to punch somebody. I mean, you're the head basketball coach. You cannot do that.
Well, that's what unloaded the situation, right? That's what a lot of people are talking about.
And then everything else went to crap.
Then the scuffle happens, right? But I'll also say this. I want to give fair notice to everything here and all these different factors and whatnot. Greg Gardner, the handshake line, it would have been intelligent for him to not have touched Juwan Howard.
Yes.
It would have been intelligent to not have done that, right? Like, some people just don't want to be touched, right?
And especially when they're mad.
And there are different views on, what is acceptable, right? And based off of what area of the country you're in, and then even individually, we all have different views. Some people, even if it's friendly, right? Like, if I came up behind you, you're doing something, I'm like, hey, man, good job, and I pat you on the back, right? Some people don't even like that. They're like, man, don't touch me. There are people out there that don't even like the door held for them.
That's kind of weird. But
I disagree with that, right? I think that is extreme. And I'm not saying that I agree with all this. I don't know if Greg Gard was trying to escalate this or anything like that by stopping him in line, because I think it was as simple as trying to stop him from going on. But also, if you sit there and think, this guy's mad at me. He doesn't want to talk to me. I probably shouldn't touch him right now. That may escalate. I wouldn't have wanted to touch him. I wouldn't have touched him.
And he probably shouldn't have touched him. And he knew he was frustrated, but yet he came up and he touched him anyway. Then some words were exchanged.
But by no means am I excusing Juwan Howard's behavior after he touched him.
No.
Because you don't act like that. Like, you don't have to act like that. You have to judge. Like, sit there and look at this man's intent. I don't think he's trying to get into a fist fight with you because he stopped you in the handshake line.
No, and you not only do you
trying
not
to get
have
your attention.
You don't have to act like that. You cannot act like that. Especially when you are the head coach of a Division I top-tier program in Michigan that has such high standards. You can't punch another coach, player, anybody.
Definitely not.
You just can't do that. And there's, the debate of whether he was right or wrong. He was definitely wrong. Let's just go ahead and put that out there. You can't punch another guy like that. Let's just... People that...
Well, I don't think it even had to get to that point. Go ahead.
The defense of Juwan Howard punching somebody in the handshake line, I don't understand it, just because in my opinion, you can't punch the guy, right? But at the same time, the other guy should not have touched him. But if you're Juwan Howard, you've got to be almost embarrassed because that is your representation of your basketball team, your program, your university. Like, in that scenario, Juwan Howard represented the entire University of Michigan, and it gave them a horrible light. And then his players jumping in and also punching other people, that's even worse.
Well, you can play a role. Like, even if you disagree with Greg Gard touching you, you can play a role in de-escalating this situation. And instead, it took it to a whole nother level. On top of that, and we'll talk about this in hour number two for just a little bit, and we've got Spectre on the line with us when we come back. All those people out there saying that we should get rid of post-game handshake lines.
Get out of here.
Forget about that. No.
Forget about it.
We should instead teach people how to be, upstanding and respectful human beings.
How to be an adult.
More of On the Line coming back at 3 p.m.
You are On the Line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Hour number two of On the Line, Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Number to call, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. A fun first hour. We talked for about 30 minutes about Auburn basketball's failure in Gainesville, as well as we spoke with Jeremy Law of Radio Alabama Sports. That was everything we had going on with hour number one. If you want to talk about anything with us, 334-321-1390, and that's where we're headed to the phone lines now. Spectre with us. Spectre, we appreciate you waiting for us. What's on your mind, man?
Well, I want to talk about Auburn basketball a little bit.
Go for it.
It's good that we're getting this out of our system now. We were playing coming into the Arkansas game like we thought we were going to be pretty good all the way through. But Arkansas was a letdown. And, I don't know what players are thinking. Sometimes I've been in that situation before where they thought Arkansas game was just a fluke. and it's going to be cruising on from there. But when the Florida game, when they lost the Florida game, it was something else. Now, I seen this coming in the Georgia game, in the second Georgia game, how we played Georgia the first time and how we played Georgia the second time. I don't know if the guys were just mentally tired or physically tired or a little bit of both. But Bruce, he knows how to get these kids motivated. And I'm pretty sure he's going to pull them out of this slump that they're in. I call it a slump, even though we only lost two games. But in my opinion, I think they're getting it out of their system now. And I think with these two losses, that I think we'll finish out the season quite well in going into the postseason.
I agree with what you're saying. Sometimes I think coaches are okay, especially when you've got a sport like basketball or baseball, not necessarily football, because one loss can doom your season, but in basketball, baseball, one loss doesn't doom your season. I think some coaches are okay with maybe taking an L or two if it means that it's going to get their team's attention. I don't know if that's what's happening here, but I definitely think a positive side effect of this loss could be that it helps this team kick their game to another level.
I agree with that, and I believe we'll finish out pretty well, you know. Listen, I got to get this other phone that just came in. I'm sorry.
Sounds good, Spectre. We appreciate the call, my man. That was Spectre on the line with us, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. If you've got some thoughts on anything going on in the sports world, if you got thoughts, we were just talking at the end of hour number one about the Michigan-Wisconsin scuffle at the end with Juwan Howard. I want to finish up that thought there before we go to making headlines. If you think the problem is with the handshake line, and I've seen folks talk about this, even Dick Vitale had a tweet about this yesterday or earlier today, I think it was yesterday. If you think the problem's the handshake line, it's not the handshake line.
No, there's nothing wrong with the handshake line. It actually is a very good thing that happens in basketball and in sports. It's people learning how to act like adults and carry themselves in a way that represents themselves well and represents their universities well, because you can't just go and punch somebody when you're mad at them.
Even if you feel disrespected,
you can't do that. And there was a big argument of what the punishment should be for Juwan Howard, whether he should be suspended one or two games, the rest of the regular season, the rest of the season. Should he be fired? My opinion is, I don't think this is a one or two game thing. I think he should be suspended for the rest of the regular season, at least. This team, the Michigan Wolverines, are not going to make the NCAA tournament unless they make a run in the Big Ten tournament. But I think he should be suspended for four or five games, however many more they have in the regular season, because I think just a one-game suspension does not send the message of you cannot punch somebody. This is a horrible look for our university. But I don't know if this is necessarily a fireable offense. Now, if it happens again, yes, but at least be suspended for the regular season.
If you've got some thoughts on that, or like Spectre, or anything going on with Auburn basketball, Auburn baseball, we haven't got to talk about them yet. We'll talk about them this segment. If you've got any thoughts on anything going on in the sports world, call in 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's start off hour number two now, as we do most days, with making headlines.
Making headlines.
First headline, we are going to go back to Auburn basketball. They dropped their 14th straight game in Gainesville against the Florida Gators. This is still a 24-3 basketball team. They still have a game lead atop the SEC standings, all alone inside the SEC right now at number one. But a 63-62 loss to Florida definitely ratchets up the pressure a little bit going into the final 2 weeks of the regular season.
Well, they may be number one right now, but there's a couple teams coming. Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas, they're still on the prowl and still have a chance.
More so Kentucky, I think.
Yes, Kentucky for sure. But Tennessee could somehow squeeze in there.
I think it's going to take a lot for Tennessee to still get there.
But a good way to start is a win against Auburn on Saturday.
That's right.
That's it. I mean, Saturday in Knoxville is a huge basketball game for Auburn and Tennessee, because if not, Auburn will more than likely end up sharing the SEC regular season title. And that's not something that Bruce Pearl and Auburn wants to do. And the loss on Saturday hurt them a little bit, but maybe that's the little, you know, kick in the rear end of, okay, now it's time to really start playing our brand of basketball, because if I'm telling you, if Auburn continues to play the way they're playing into March and into the tournament, they're not going to go as far as they should, because this team should go and compete for a national title. But if they play like they are right now, they won't, in my opinion. But they've got four games left. They've got Ole Miss at home on Wednesday. They travel to Knoxville, Tennessee on Saturday. Then after that, next Wednesday, on the road at Mississippi State, and they come home for South Carolina to wrap up the season. Auburn's got to go 4-0 there, I think, Noah. I think Auburn has to finish 4-0. They'll win the SEC regular season title. They'll be the number one seed in the SEC tournament. They go and just let that play out as is, where they can just kind of do what they need to do, but there's not a ton of pressure on the SEC tournament.
Correct. I also think, though, if Auburn takes another loss from here out, unless it is in the SEC championship game, Auburn will not be a one seed
in the NCAA tournament.
I'm not just talking about the SEC tournament. So I think there is more at stake than just winning the regular season championship. Of course, we would like to see Auburn win the regular season championship, but that has been the focus that I've talked about since Auburn lost to Arkansas, that now your attention has to change on winning the regular season championship. You should want to win it outright. You should not want to share with Kentucky after the year that you've had and the interactions that you've had with the Kentucky Wildcats. And honestly, you look at it down the stretch, Auburn with Ole Miss at home, that's a win. I think you win both of the home games for sure. You got Ole Miss and South Carolina. And coincidentally, if you'll remember, back in 2018, when Auburn won the regular season championship, they closed it out against South Carolina in the final home game of the regular season, right? So that's the situation that Auburn is in right now. I think you're going to win both of those home games, and then you've got Mississippi State on the road and Tennessee on the road. I think both of those are winnable. I don't think Mississippi State is nearly as good as the best teams in this league. That road game does not scare me as much as the Tennessee game, and rightfully so, because Tennessee has knocked off some good teams at home this year. This is a team that beat Arizona. This is a team that went toe-to-toe with Texas Tech. This team beat Kentucky this past week on Tuesday night by 13. They have ran with some great teams in college basketball. And albeit, though, Tennessee loses by 10 to Arkansas and only scores 48 points this weekend. So you see, that's where I go back to. Everybody's got their own issues.
They do.
You know? And
they
so do. I think these games, they're all manageable, and Auburn should be favored, and Auburn should expect to win all of these games, but it is still going to be a task. If they don't, if they lose again, I think there's real – I don't think Kentucky's losing again in the regular season.
I don't
and
either.
They may not lose again, period, up until the NCAA tournament. I think you're going to get – I mean, obviously, the favorites to go to the SEC championship when it rolls around in March, it's going to be Auburn and Kentucky. And if those two teams meet and say Auburn's taking another loss in the regular season, ties Kentucky for the for the SEC regular season championship, and then Kentucky beats them in the SEC tournament championship, I think Kentucky should be the one seed.
I agree, and I think that'll end up happening. If that's what happens, then Auburn will not be a one seed. But I want to ask you this question. And it was tweeted out by the War Report, the Twitter account, and it says, what would mean more for Auburn, the SEC regular season title or the SEC tournament title? What would mean more for Auburn? I want to ask you that question.
I think the regular and we're assuming we're talking about outright, right?
Outright, yes, outright.
I think you want the regular season title, because that is going to – that means you finished out 4-0. That means you got a big road win against Tennessee, and that means Auburn probably played better over the last four games compared to what we saw out of them. And Auburn is 4-2 in the month of February. It's not like Auburn's playing horrible in the month of February. I want to go back to saying that. I'm opposing you a little bit on the degree of how bad Auburn has played this month. Auburn's 4-2 in February. A lot of teams hit this fatigue wall and go on some really bad stretches, and they have some really bad losses, and not one-point losses at that, right? Like, not the way that Auburn has lost. I mean, once again, we were talking about Texas Tech. Texas Tech had a 15-point loss to Oklahoma this month. You know what I mean? Everybody's dealing with these issues. But I think a regular season championship would mean more, because it means you got Auburn playing to the level that they needed to beat a team like Tennessee. That can then propel you in the SEC tournament. You know, but if it's one or the other, I don't know.
Which would you rather have?
I'd probably rather have the SEC tournament championship, though. If it has to be one or the other, to get Auburn a one seed in the NCAA tournament, it will probably mean more for Auburn to win the SEC tournament championship. But they can't lose two more games in the regular season either. I think that could put them in some hot water, right? I mean, it is fine lines right now for Auburn. The margin for error is so slim for Auburn moving forward. And the one seed is important. That is so important compared to Auburn being a two seed or you know, they won't drop to a three. But between Auburn being a one or a two seed, that is also in view right now to where that is extremely important for this team's NCAA tournament projections.
I think when it comes to winning the SEC regular season title, I think that determines a team is better than the team that wins a conference championship tournament title. Because if Auburn wins the SEC regular season title, that means they were the best in their conference out of everybody because they've played everybody
even
in the whole regular
wobbled
season.
In. And I agree with that logic, but it could also mean that you could also be Auburn and still do that and have this impressive resume, but you wobbled into the SEC tournament?
Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, an SEC tournament championship is that propels you into the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you get your automatic bid. Auburn doesn't need the automatic bid, but you get the tournament championship win. You've got a lot of momentum going into the NCAA tournament. If you ask me, when I first saw the question, my initial thought was SEC tournament championship. That means more to me than the regular season title. But when you talk to Bruce Pearl and you listen to Bruce Pearl talk about it, what is the goal for this Auburn basketball team? It's to win the SEC regular season title. That's what they work for. And then they work on the SEC tournament, and then they work on the NCAA tournament. So to anybody out there that wants to chime in, answer that question for me. Which one would mean more to you, for Auburn to win the SEC regular season title or Auburn to win the SEC tournament title? Give us your opinion here on the line, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you. Answer that question for me. Which one would mean more, Auburn to win the SEC regular season title or Auburn to win the SEC tournament title?
And now on the phone lines with us, we've got Brett now. Brett, what's your take on it?
First of all, I want Auburn to beat Tennessee, but I'm not going to say that if they lose that one that they're tying, because Kentucky plays LSU at home, at Arkansas, and at Florida. Tennessee's at Missouri, Auburn home, Arkansas at home. Arkansas has got a brutal finish at Florida, at Tennessee, Kentucky home, LSU home. So if Auburn wins one of those two away games, they're going to be SEC champs, in my opinion.
Do you think they'll be outright, or do you think they'll have to share?
Outright. I mean, okay. If Kentucky loses one more, Auburn's got to
That's
lose
right.
two. And I don't think they do that.
I agree with that.
Just don't. And, Tennessee's already got four losses. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if anyone can tell me that they're going to beat Arkansas and Auburn both at home.
That's a tough task, no doubt. But I think Tennessee is able to do it, possibly. I don't think they do, but they could. And, Brett, let me ask you this question that I was just asking Noah. To you, what would mean more, Auburn to win the SEC regular season title or Auburn to win the SEC tournament?
Regular season.
Okay, why so?
Much more. Regular season proves much more. You play 18 games. I mean, you know, heck, we've seen, I'm older than y'all. I saw Auburn win four games in 4 days when Parsons was there, and they were 7-11 during the regular season. So regular season is the true champion. I know that you get the bid by winning the tournament, but regular season by far and away means a lot more.
I agree with that. For this team, though, would you rather have the momentum that the 2019 team had, you know, because they didn't win the regular season title? They were barely above 500 going into the tournament, and then they run through it, and they obviously use that momentum in the NCAA tournament. It doesn't always work out that way, but how much do you think momentum matters for this team?
Well, momentum's important, but let me tell you what, until the small forwards can stop being 11 of 57 in SEC play from three, and Wendell Green starts hitting the 8 to 10 foot floater or pull-up shot, Auburn will struggle to get to the Sweet 16. Defenses are now sloughing off on Green, taking away the lob as much as they can, and they're sloughing off the small forwards and making sure a guy sticks with Jabari. I mean, you can't play 3-on-5. And Auburn's basketball IQ at end of games is about as poor as any real good team I've seen in ages. I mean, we've got a guy 4 of 28 taking two three-pointers against Arkansas in the last 4 minutes. We've got a guy who's determined he's going to be a ball tester for Spalding at the end of the first and second half. And he's done it all year. I mean, it's not like it just started. Auburn, you know, all this talk about, well, that's just how they play. That ain't going to get it when you get to the tournament and every possession counts, because you're playing a good team every night. You're not playing, you know, these bottom feeders that we've played on the road a lot.
I agree with that, Brett. We appreciate the call, my man. Hope you're having a good day. That was Brett on the line with us, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. I do want to differentiate, because I know I've pushed back a lot today. I've been more on the positive side with Auburn basketball today, because there's been a decent amount of negativity about this Auburn basketball team, too. You can't disagree with that. I do want to say everything that I've said over the past 2 months still holds true. This team can't play like this in March. I'm just saying that – I also think they're still super talented, and they're still going to figure it out.
There's no doubt. There's a lot of positives on this Auburn basketball team. They only have 3 losses to this point in the season. 2 of their losses were in overtime. The other one is a 1-point loss at Florida. They still have the best road record in the SEC. They're still going to be a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. They still have the best player in college basketball in Jabari Smith. They've still got the best front court in college basketball with Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. But I think there are some things that you've got to look at, and you can't deny that there are some issues with this basketball team right now. But I have confidence that, because I've seen it before, that Bruce Pearl fixes them before March.
Let's head to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Dan on the line with us now. Dan, what's up?
Hey, guys. Y'all doing all right?
We are doing well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Personally, I think winning the regular season is definitely the most important thing, because obviously that's going to go in the books no matter what. But then you're also the number one seed going into the tournament, so you have an easier road by being that number one team. If Arkansas is the number four team, I really do think we're a much better team than they are. And so chances are, worst case in the tournament, you would make it to the final game. So I think it would hurt you even less, even if you did lose in the final game, if it was Kentucky. So I think winning the regular season game is definitely what matters the most.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dan, you got any other takes on anything that happened this weekend, Auburn basketball, Auburn baseball?
Yeah, as far as this weekend with basketball, you know, I just think we sometimes get sloppy, and, you know, I'm probably never going to question Bruce, because he's way smarter than me about basketball. And a lot of people are probably, you know, why didn't Jabari get the last shot? But I know if I'm Florida and they throw the ball into Jabari at the end of the game, they're going to double-team him right away and hope he makes a bad pass, which, you know, he's kind of 50-50 on his passes. So, you know, I don't know. It just kind of
I would just like to see Auburn take more timeouts. That's my only issue. Not necessarily who's taking the last shot. It's more for me about why no timeouts in the second half, you know?
Yeah. One thing I did notice, and I like I said, you said it before, it's hard to be nitpicky when you're, you know, 22-3 or 24-23-3 or whatever. But the one thing that I did seem to notice, there were some plays where our guys made a mistake, and a Florida guy was getting an open shot, and we didn't give great effort to try to go get out on him and at least make him drive or try to do something different. We kind of just gave him the shot. And I don't know, you know, if that's just frustration or if the guys are just, you know, tired or what.
Could be the game plan. Could be okay with Florida taking threes. They're not a very good three-point shooting team.
They were that night.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, but there was a couple of them where I guess it was Applegate or Applebee, yeah, or whatever, who was on fire, got some open looks, and our guys kind of just jogged over to him and didn't even really try,
yeah,
very hard. You know, I'd much rather have him driving to the basket than having him shooting a three when he's already hit like 2 or 3 in a row. So
sure, I understand that.
Anyway, but I'm not going to really complain too much. I think we're still, you know, on track. Yes, we got to clean up a lot of stuff. You know, yes, we got, hopefully some of our guys can get their shooting stroke back. I mean, we got 2 guys, I think, personally, that are playing lights out, and then we just need a few more to jump on the bandwagon.
It's the front court. You know? The front court's playing great, and then but we all know what carries you through March. It's the back court, and that is not playing well right now, not consistent at all. Dan, we appreciate the call, my man.
Appreciate it.
That was Dan on the line with us, 334-321-1390. I mean, you break it down, you look at it, it's the front court that's balling out. Jabari is averaging 29.5 points per game over the last two games. Walker Kessler has been a steady force all season long. It's not those two. It's the backcourt right now and the lack of consistency coming from spots 1 through 3 for Auburn because they're all over the place on any given night.
You just got to look at it as there's things to fix, and we're allowed to be nitpicky because that's what we do.
Well, the team isn't above reproach.
Yes, I agree.
No team in college basketball is above reproach.
But nobody's playing just above and beyond everybody else right now, but there's still some issues with Auburn basketball that you can look at visibly and see, like, okay, these things have to change if Auburn wants to be successful in March.
But likewise, as we go to break, I will say this. Just because we are citing those things that they need to improve on does not mean that they are not a national championship contender, does not mean that they are not one of the top three teams in the country, and it does not mean that we are down on this team whatsoever, because everybody else has got these same issues and they're talking about the same things and they don't have as good of a roster to be able to figure it out down the line, whereas Auburn does. So I think that's the stuff, that's the silver lining there that people need to look at rather than being so down about it. There's some measuring there that people need to have with their takes. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Auburn baseball as we continue on with Making Headlines. Back on the line, Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Number to call, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Continue on with Making Headlines. Jacob, what's our next headline, man?
Auburn baseball had a big series down in Texas this weekend in the tournament. Auburn baseball bounced back from Friday's loss to claim two big wins over their opening weekend. Auburn baseball is now 2-1 on the season. Noah, what? Your breakdown of the tournament down in Texas.
Oh, man. What big wins for Auburn baseball, because I was concerned.
We were concerned on Friday.
I really thought, I was like, oh, man, 0-3 might be the most likely possibility here. Because
that's what we said, yeah.
I did not expect the pitching to do as well as they did this past weekend. They gave up 5 total runs.
Over three games. And a team was ranked in the top 15.
5 runs in 27 innings with the question marks that we had around this pitching staff. Now, just because they did that in the opening weekend, you've got to ask yourself, are they going to do that all year long? And we saw spurts last year where all of these different pitchers coming back, and I talked about this about a year ago now, or back last May, last June, when the season was wrapping up, I talked about, well, you've got a decent amount of guys coming back that all did something positive for about a week and a half or 2 weeks, and then they fell apart and they didn't do anything else for the rest of the year. And there was just a lot of inconsistency with so many different players, but we knew the potential was there. And this weekend, everybody that touched the mound did a really nice job. Hayden Mullins was pretty much the only pitcher this past weekend that had a really tough time. Based off of what happened in the Oklahoma game, but he also didn't have any run support. And you look at across the last 2 days for Auburn, 5 different dudes touched the rubber for Auburn in the Texas Tech game, and Joseph Gonzalez had 5 scoreless innings. Garrett Wade came in, gave up just 1 run in a third. He had a little bit of a struggle. John Armstrong came in, did well, shut things down for him after Garrett Wade struggled. Carson Skipper had a scoreless inning. And then Blake Burthalter closed the game out with 2 scoreless innings against Texas Tech. And then on Sunday, Auburn had 5 other guys take them out again. Trace Bright only gave up 1 run across 5 innings, only gave up 2 hits. Chase Alsup, no runs. Mason Barnett, no runs. Cade Granzow, no runs, just 1 hit. And then Carson Swilling, no runs, no hits. Only 1 hit was given up by the bullpen in the Kansas State game yesterday. I mean, you break it down, the pitching was lights out across the board. Maybe only 2 guys truly had struggles, Hayden Mullins and then Garrett Wade, like I said. So you had 2 guys that really struggled. Pitching was phenomenal, and I didn't expect it to do that after the first day. Even though it was great on the first day, I did not expect it as we went into the depths for Auburn to be able to do this against every team. And hitting found its groove on the third day when everybody's arms had been shot, Kansas State's included. But Hitting's going to have to be better. You can't average three hits per game like they did through the first two games and expect to win SEC series. You can't do that. Hitting's going to have to be better, but the pitching, that's a solid foundation for Auburn moving forward.
Well, you broke down the pitching extremely well, and then you brought up the other point that I was going to talk about, the hitting, because on Friday's show, after Auburn lost to Oklahoma by a score of 3-0, Auburn had three hits.
Hits on Saturday.
But they also won, and their pitching stepped up enough. They actually scored. They scored two runs during the game against Oklahoma. Ooh. They didn't score any. I know, but win to win.
You're right.
And then against Kansas State, the bats came alive to score 12 runs. Obviously, that's not going to happen every game, but the bats are going to have to support the pitching because the pitching can't do this all year long if the bats don't support them.
More of On the Line when we come back. Jacob Hillman on the other side of this break.
You're back on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner with you here on the Monday edition of the show, February 21st, 2022. Just about 30 minutes left in the show here on the line. But we're going to go to the phone. We've got Jacob Hillman on the line from the Auburn Jungle President, the Auburn Sports Network, and Weagle 91.1 FM Sports Director. Jacob, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys, and happy to be on the line this dreary Monday afternoon.
Jacob, we want to start with Auburn basketball. And, of course, you were in Gainesville for Auburn's 14th straight loss in Gainesville. What was your takeaway on your long drive home from Florida back to Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun atmosphere. There were a ton of Auburn fans in the building. There were points where the Auburn crowd was louder than what the Florida home crowd was getting at some point. So, that was really cool to see. The Auburn Witnesses are still out and about. I expect to see the same thing on Saturday against Tennessee. But as far as the game goes, takeaway is just this team still has places to improve. There's still room to grow. I think the bench did not perform the way it has when Auburn was most successful. I think it was 11 points scored off the bench. And you have those moments where you think, okay, this is the point where those guys off the bench need to perform, whether it's Devin Cambridge, Jalen Williams, Wendell Green, or even Dylan Cardwell. And there was never really a run where the bench impressed me. I think that was the biggest takeaway for me from the game because, I mean, there's been the games where the bench scores 40 points in a game, and that's why Auburn wins. And the fact that they weren't able to do that on Saturday, I think, was the critical point in the game.
To be fair, just pushing back just a little bit here, 11 points out of a bench isn't terrible, and most teams aren't relying on their bench production to help them win basketball games. I think it's an even more fair point to call out the backcourt that just hasn't been good in the month of February.
Yeah, and I think that you look at the last session of the first half and the last session of the second half, and there's a lot of things to look at in both of those. But, you know, I think it's just Wendell Green it's something that he wasn't able to really do well. Manage the offense on those last possessions. I don't know what it was. It just seems like he wasn't able to execute the plays the way they seemed to be drawn up as. Walker Kessler was open on the end of the game play, and he just couldn't get it to him quickly enough. Now, obviously, you look at some of the other parts of the play, and Jabari Smith's just sitting in the corner. Alan Flanagan, it seems like he probably shouldn't have been as close to half court as he should have been. I feel like he should have been closer to the basket. And, I mean, you could have done different things. I feel like you could have given Katie Johnson the ball there and just let him wreak some havoc because of the way he draws fouls. And I know that he can make a good pass as well. It was just a lot of things that I think, like you said, the backcourt can improve on, especially when it comes to critical points of the game and last-minute possessions.
Still talking Auburn basketball now with Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle President, as well as Weagle 91.1 FM Sports Director. Jacob, what is the feeling for you with this basketball team going into the last 2 weeks of the season? It seems like people, you know, went to social media on Saturday to air some grievances, and then there are other sectors of the fan base that, you know, the feeling that I get is that they almost put this basketball team in a location where they're above reproach. I know you said earlier that they still have room to improve, but kind of what is your feelings toward where this basketball team is at and, more importantly, where the fan base is at kind of in their discourse of this basketball team?
Yeah, I think it has to do with the fact that was a game that you lost because you didn't play well. Whereas the Arkansas loss, you just look at it, you're in a crazy, crazy environment and against a team that played really well. You took them to overtime. You took them to the wire. You took Florida to the wire, too, but it just looked uglier than that Arkansas game. That Arkansas game, there were still high points of it. Whereas this Florida game, I mean, other than Jabari and Walker playing lights out, what was there? So I think that you have to really look at the fact that, like you said, the backcourt needs to improve. And as I said, I think the bench, we Auburn relies on it more than other teams do. Because, like you said, 11 points isn't bad from the bench. But when Auburn's been winning games because the bench puts up so much production, you can't really have those games where the bench just decides not to show up. Now, that being said, I also think that the defense is still there. I mean, the score at halftime was like 23-22, 22-21, something like that. And the defense travels. That's clear and obvious. And that's something that will matter in the tournament. You're going to need to find a way to find consistent offense once you get to postseason play. And if that happens, Auburn's going to make a big run and have a chance to make it to the Final Four. Like I said, though, you got to find that somewhere. And I'm not sure exactly where it is, whether that's playing your experienced guys more or continuing with the rotation you've been playing.
Jacob Hillman, I want to ask you this question that I've asked all day today on the show. With Auburn State, or they're standing right now, they're still the first team in the SEC by a game. With four games to go in the regular season, I want to ask your opinion. Would you rather see this Auburn men's basketball team win the SEC regular season title or win the SEC tournament title, and why?
That's a tough question. And if I have to pick one, like, obviously forfeiting the other, I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, probably because of how the NCAA tournament is, probably the SEC tournament, just because, I mean, that's what it is. It's survive in advance. One game can lose a season. But I will say that also the regular season title is a big deal because I think that shows a better body of work of a team. I think it's just so much more difficult to win an SEC regular season championship than the SEC tournament. You just need to get hot in the SEC tournament. But I think I'd have to say the SEC tournament because that would show me that, okay, this team really knows how to play in a tournament setting and in an atmosphere like that and knows how to survive in advance. But, I mean, yeah, I would have to just say that one because of that.
Switching gears now to Auburn baseball with Jacob Hillman, Auburn Jungle president and Weagle 91.1 FM sports director. Obviously, Auburn baseball this past weekend in Arlington, Texas, playing in the State Farm College Baseball Showdown. Friday wasn't great. Saturday and Sunday sure was fun. What's your impressions of this Auburn baseball team?
Yeah, it's got to be the pitching. Five runs allowed over the weekend. It's the first time Auburn's done that against a Power 5 opponent or opponents since 2019. When the Tigers did it against Tennessee. And that's such a big deal coming off of last year. And it wasn't against terrible opponents. These are Big 12 schools. Obviously, Texas Tech is ranked. They were ranked in the top 15, only down to 20th now. And then you had Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas State. Kansas State were picked towards the bottom half of the Big 12, but Oklahoma is a well-known program from the Big 12, the future SEC opponent. That's my biggest takeaway is, even though the offense wasn't there on Friday, you saw it pick up a little bit on Saturday and then exploded on Sunday. And that's a big deal is that, sure, you don't start off hot, but you found a rhythm. Sonny DeShera, he hit the whole weekend. That he was not an issue on Friday. And then you have Blake Rambush, who I've been saying, I think he has a chance to be one of the better leadoff hitters in the SEC. And I really think that the bats are something that won't be too much of a concern, but I just don't think you're going to see explosiveness from them constantly throughout the season. I think it's something that it's just going to be, you're going to need timely hits. You're going to need to make sure you drive runners in when you have the opportunities. You're not going to put up 12 runs in a game against SEC opponents every game. So you're going to have to make sure that you get the hits when you need them. And I do think that the pitching is going to continue to stay like the way it is.
Talking about the offense moving forward, and as we go to the SEC, you know, about a month from now, you know, they were picked to finish seventh in the SEC West. Do you think this weekend maybe is a sign that they can exceed expectations and get back to an NCAA tournament? I know this is way ahead of time, but I'm just, you know, it's food for thought.
Yeah, I do think that it very much shows that this team has a chance to do that. I think before the weekend, you're thinking, let's just grab one game and and be happy with that. But then you bounce back from a game one loss, beat a ranked team, and then dominate your Sunday opponent. I think it shows that this team has the right mindset. They know what they have the capabilities to do, and we're going to see in this non-conference slate what moves around. How is the pitching rotation used? How is the batting lineup set? Because obviously by SEC play, you kind of want to have a lineup that you really like, and I feel like it's the same thing with pitching rotation. You want to know what guys are going to pitch with who's coming out of the bullpen first on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I think that this team definitely has a chance to make the tournament. I don't have any doubt about that. And with the way the SEC is, you could finish seventh in the division and still make the NCAA tournament. So I definitely think that this team is looking to exceed expectations. It's really just about how they manage things going forward.
Jacob, of course, it's a busy time in Auburn athletics. There's a lot of different sports going on right now here on the Plains. I want to get your opinion on two more sports before we let you get out of here. First, Auburn women's basketball picking up their third ranked win of the season over Georgia this weekend, and then the hot start for Auburn softball. Your take on both of those teams as they stand right now?
Yeah, I mean, women's basketball, it's just huge to pick up wins like that. You already had two ranked wins against Georgia Tech in non-conference play at Georgia Tech, and then you beat the number four team in the country in Tennessee on your home floor. It was such a great environment that was. And then same deal against Georgia. It's a rivalry game, and they're ranked, and you find a way to get a win like that, that you don't let Georgia score in the last 7 minutes of the game. Now, some of that was due to mistakes and miscues by Georgia, but Auburn stayed in it. They kept playing hard, and really it's just something that Coach Shade's been pushing is whenever you get something like this, build on it. You got two games left of season, senior night on Thursday against Ole Miss. I hope to see a lot of people out there because – you need to buy in now, because I think Coach Jay is building something similar to what Coach Pearl has done. The way it's structured, she's not the same as Coach Bruce Pearl, but the way things are being built up just feels so similar. And then hopefully they can get a win or two in the SEC tournament and something to build on for next season. As far as softball, I think that this team has a chance to be really, really good. Top five in the SEC, potentially good. I think we talked about them possibly finishing in the middle of the pack. I think that they can finish above that. Now, what is it going to take? It's going to take those bats to make sure they stay hot, because last year Auburn didn't score 10 runs in a game until the very end of the season, and now Auburn hasn't really had it other than the UCLA game. That UCLA team is so, so good. It's okay to get blown out the way you did because they bounced back the way they did. They've scored a lot of runs in every game so far this season, so it's something I look forward to. I think Auburn's hit 16 home runs this year and through a few games. Last year in the whole season they hit 22. So I think that shows where the bats are and what's changed from last season to this season.
Jacob, last question to you before we let you get out of here. A fun question for you, because we don't talk about the MLB with you often, but okay, we know you are a big Major League Baseball fan, notably the Atlanta Braves. Of course, we may have seen our last pro baseball ever, and the Atlanta Braves could be the last champions ever. But what's your take on what's going on with the MLB as we're now starting to eat into some spring training?
Man, it really stinks. Like, it seems to be the major issue with Major League Baseball. Like, this, it happens with other sports, but it just doesn't feel like it's to the extent that it happens with Major League Baseball. And obviously, the whole thing's about growing the game, and this doesn't do that. I really hope that something can be finished here in the coming week or two. That way, you don't miss too much of spring training or anything like that, and potentially you can even start the season close to on time, but it's hard for me to put trust in Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, and everything that goes on with that, because there's just always so many issues. We saw it with COVID. I thought baseball would have been the easiest sport to get started back up, and they just made it extremely difficult. And here we are again, where we're past that, and we're having to deal with labor contracts and things like that. So I just hope that things can be settled by the end of this week or at some point next week.
Jacob, we appreciate your time, my man. Tell everybody where they can keep up with you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at JacobHillmanAU. Follow Weagle on Twitter at Weagle_AU. We're doing Auburn Club Lacrosse as well as Auburn Club Hockey. So keep an eye out on those broadcasts. And, of course, follow The Jungle on Instagram and Twitter at AU Jungle. Lots of info and content coming this week for the home game against Ole Miss.
It's always good talking to you, my man. I hope you have a good rest of your afternoon.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. War Eagle.
That was Jacob Hillman with us, Auburn Jungle president, also of the Auburn Sports Network and Weagle 91.1 FM Sports Director. We'll be back to wrap up the show when we come back. Wrapping up the show here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Got about 8 minutes left here in the President's Day edition of On the Line. Jacob, take it away, my man.
Well, Noah, we have just a few more minutes before we have to get out of here. The Drive is coming up next with Bill Kamer, so make sure you stay tuned in right here on ESPN 106.7 for The Drive right after we get done. But, Noah, what's the game coming up in college basketball tonight? Super Monday, is that what they call
it now?
Big Monday. It's Super Tuesday, that's what they call it. So Big Monday in college basketball tonight. What's one game that you are looking forward to tonight, and then I'll give you mine before we get out of here?
Well, you know I'm an Indiana fan. Indiana's at number 22, Ohio State, 6 p.m. FS1. Indiana is an NCAA tournament team right now, possibly. I mean, you still look at where they're at in the standings. They have taken a little bit of a tumble. They're below 500 right now in Big Ten play, but they're 16-9 overall. The Big Ten could get a lot of teams in the tournament, right? I mean, you could see Indiana. Iowa's now on the side of the top 25. You could get Indiana. You could get Iowa. You could get Michigan State. You will get Michigan State. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers could be there. I mean, Indiana needs a win tonight, and a win over Ohio State could get them there.
I agree. The Big Ten it's not the best conference in college basketball, but
it's still a good conference.
It's getting better. And it's getting better. That's the thing I was going to say. It's getting better as the season goes on. It's getting deeper as the season goes on. I think Rutgers making the push that they have made over the last week and a half or 2 weeks has really helped the conference overall. I think they're going to get quite a few teams in. And when it comes to the tournament, not many people are going to want to play these Big Ten schools. Nobody wants to play Purdue or Illinois or Ohio State. Those are teams that can beat some people and make decent runs in the NCAA tournament. So the Big Ten is not a conference to mess with. They may not be the best, but they're still going to run with people when it comes to the tournament.
Is that your game tonight? Is that the one that you're looking at?
I'm trying to see. I mean, you could point it.
It's the one top 25 team playing other than Baylor.
Or UCLA plays tonight against Arizona State. But the Pac-12 is, everybody knows our take on the Pac-12. I think that is the game tonight. Or you could say Louisville, North Carolina for ACC, whatever. But I do. I like the Indiana-Ohio State game. I think this is a game where if Indiana wins, they can boost their tournament resume a little bit. And Ohio State, it's another game that they need to their resume to solidify that they're a top 25 team in college basketball. So, I'll take that game. It's not a great Big Monday in college basketball. But, we'll watch. I'm sure I'll have my TV turned on to Indiana and Ohio State.
Did you see the latest AP Top 25 release? We haven't talked about that today. We got a couple minutes left in the show. I figured that would be a good thing to talk about. And so, any takes from the AP Top 25 that you thought were egregious?
Well, we mentioned it earlier. I was shocked that Auburn just dropped to number 3. I figured Auburn would be a 4 or 5 in the AP poll this week. But Auburn's
other
still
teams
number 3.
Have problems too.
Whatever.
let me run through it. Number 1, Gonzaga. 2, Arizona. 3, Auburn. 4, Purdue. 5, Kansas. Gonzaga's at the top, unanimous number 1 with 61 first place votes. 6, Kentucky. They dropped 2 spots after losing to Tennessee on Tuesday night. 7, Duke. 8, Villanova. 9, Texas Tech. 10, Baylor. 11, Providence. They dropped 3 spots after their loss in the midweek. 12, UCLA. 13, Wisconsin. 14, Houston. 15, Illinois, 16, USC, 17, Tennessee, 18, Arkansas. They move up 5 spots. They're up to 21-6 on the year. 19, our best friends, Murray State, 20, Texas, 21, UConn, 22, Ohio State, 23, St. Mary's. Bama's up a spot to 24, and Iowa enters the top 25 at 25 as Michigan State exits in a big way, and Rutgers there on the cusp at 27 as well. Right outside there receiving votes after a big week and after going 3-1 across their last 4 games, which were all against top 25 competition. My one gripe is Tennessee's too low.
Yeah, Tennessee is.
But I know they lost Arkansas and only
they
scored 48
points. They lost Arkansas, but they're still a good basketball
team. They're better
team.
Than USC.
Hey, shout out to Iowa. They got their first quad 1 win of the season against Ohio State this weekend. So shout out to Iowa. Getting, again, their first quad 1
and that's
win.
Going to put them in the tournament.
That'll put them in. That's it. That's
it erases what happened to Michigan earlier in the week.
Yep. I was just looking for them to get a quality win. They hadn't had one all season long. They had a good record, but they hadn't beaten anybody. They finally beat Ohio State, get their first quad 1 win. That'll get them into the tournament. But then other than that, I don't see anything too crazy about this new AP poll. I mean, you could say, yeah, Tennessee could be higher, but they're still 19-7. They have 7 losses. So
I just think they're better than USC when you watch them play, right?
Yeah,
like
they
USC
are.
Only won by 2 yesterday.
Yeah, they are.
Guess who? Washington State, I think. Yeah.
But I think the top 10 is pretty solid. I mean, I think they nailed it. I don't think Arizona is that good of a basketball team. The College Game Day guys would defer and disagree with that. They were all really hype on Arizona because College Game Day was in Arizona this weekend. Until they prove it against good teams, I won't believe it, but they deserve to be the number 2 team in the country. They haven't done anything to not be that. So, no, I don't really have any disagreements with the AP poll this week.
Moving on here, last little bit of the show. We got about 2.5 minutes left until the drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. They'll be on from 4 to 6 taking your calls all show long here on President's Day. I want to talk a little SEC baseball before we get out of here. Get everybody updated on what happened around the league as folks may have not have, kept up considering it is college basketball season. So I'm pumped. I'm really excited about baseball season being here, especially SEC baseball season. So I want to give everybody an update on what's going on inside the league. And I don't think the SEC had a good weekend this weekend. I think Auburn was definitely one of the teams that shocked people out there, especially with their win over Texas Tech. Arkansas dropped a bad game on opening day to Illinois State. They're at 2-1. Mississippi State went 1-2 this weekend. And granted, these teams that I'm about to talk about did play top 25 teams. But Mississippi State lost the first 2 games to 24th-ranked Long Beach State by a combined score of 3-16. They won on Sunday 12-4, but still dropped 2 out of 3 to Long Beach State. Vanderbilt lost 2 out of 3 to 7th-ranked Oklahoma State. And Florida lost 2 out of 3 to a top 25, I believe they were 21st, Liberty Flames team. Outside of that, Georgia struggled with Albany. Alabama needed a walk-off to help them sweep Xavier. Really, the 2 teams that looked great this weekend, I think, when you talk about who they were playing and them actually meeting expectations, LSU mopped the floor with Maine and Ole Miss clean Charleston Southern's clock.
And the SEC is going to be okay when it comes to baseball, but opening weekend did not do them any justice or any favors. And when you have to have spectacular walk-offs for some SEC teams to beat teams that they should, and the top-tier baseball teams in the SEC, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, struggle and go 1-2 over the opening weekend.
South Carolina struggled with UNC Greensboro.
Yeah.
There was a lot of results this weekend where I was like,
Which shows Auburn's 2-1 record with the teams that they played is pretty darn good because Auburn played a top 12 Texas Tech team. They played a good Oklahoma team. Kansas State, not so much. But Auburn did just fine this weekend. The SEC is going to be fine, but opening weekend didn't do the SEC any favors, and they're going to have a lot of work to do in the non-con before SEC play starts, because once that hits, it's a full-on battle all season long.
And it doesn't get any easier for a lot of these teams that play. Florida's still going to have their series with Miami. All of these teams still have tough series coming up. That's it for the President's Day edition of On the Line. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. You know where to find us.